Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11.
Hello, friends, and welcome. My goodness, what a weekend we had.
Well, we talked about so many things, Chris, didn't we?
We really did. This actually sounds insincere. We actually did have a very full, exciting weekend.
We'll get straight into one of our favourite people in a really weird way, Kim Jong-un. And on his loyal subjects can now find love online. North Korea has just introduced its first Tinder-style app, but appears love is only for the very rich, lonely people because the majority of North Koreans can't afford a smartphone.
Yes, we were also talking about the fact that the Amazon rainforest is on fire and worrying about climate change, but it turns out there's a new way to save the planet, cannibalism, and we both kind of discussed maybe some alternatives and what we could do and how we could implement this solution. Yes.
Yeah, we thought we'd heard it all as well, according to crazy reality TV shows, but Scarlett Moffat's new series beats them all. She and her family are going to build a house and are moving to Namibia to live beside the Himba tribe. I'm not lying when I say that, and I will be tuning in.
As well as that, Instagrammers, weird kind of delusional Instagrammers. We love discussing them, and we discussed the Australian lady who spent more than $6,000 she didn't have on a holiday, and she got into debt for the gram for her 700 followers.
My God.
God almighty, yeah.
Ireland has two new superheroes, and it's not myself and Chris. Yes, Marvel has come knocking, and Barry Keoghan and Limerick actor Peter Halpin have answered the call. And all Barry had to do was tweet the real Stan Lee in 2013 and ask.
I think you should do this.
Well, he's passed away, so.
No, but like as in you should be tweeting, you should be, you know, like, hey guys, come on, I need to be in a Marvel movie.
Okay.
Just tweet
the general
Marvel franchise.
You're right, sorry.
As well as that, seagulls the size of dogs.
Horses.
Kira's gone as far as horses. Seagulls the size of horses in the UK are causing a lot of problems. They're very aggressive. They're attacking people. So now kids in Brighton are being given lessons on how to avoid them in school. That is not a joke. On how to avoid confrontations with seagulls.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you something.
Barack Obama posted himself Michelle's summer playlist, and already almost a million people have engaged with it, which kind of means the ex-president of the US is now an actual influencer that we like.
Oh, 100%.
And possibly the best way to get your music onto a worldwide platform.
Oh, 100%.
So if you're thinking of like dropping any hits, Chris, get on to Barack.
He loves
the Irish.
You know the way on Spotify they have like, here's your Friday playlist. They just need to have Obama's weekly playlist.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
As well as that, Taylor Swift dropped her latest album on Friday, and London Boy is the new Galway Girl. People giving her a lot of grief about what she likes in London and how much she cramps into one day. And Kira, you're not too pleased about the Idris Elba clip being used either.
Very overprotective of my Idris.
Kira's territorial of her boyfriend Idris. Mm-hmm. That's true. Listen, all of that and more. Enjoy. Here we go. Kira was just telling me.
I don't know how I feel about this. Actually, I think I feel scared for humanity with this particular reality TV show. And you'd think after Love Island that, you know, people would be really scared for humanity. But no, this one I think raises it even up a notch because it means destroying a particular tribe.
Weirdly, I think I love this idea, which probably says a lot more about me.
Yeah.
But
you're so going to love this.
Scarlett Moffat is the one who was on the UK Gogglebox.
Yeah, she also won I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Right.
So she rose to fame. Yes. I say that with like air quotes. She rose to fame when she was one of the participants in Gogglebox, where she used to watch TV shows and everyone thought she was really funny. And then she was on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And she won it because people thought she was relatable in the jungle.
Sure. She has that whole kind of no filter between her brain and her mouth. She says the kookiest things. Yeah, I hear you.
Oh,
yeah,
Scarlett. Yeah. Anyway, the reality TV show, it is called The British Tribe Next Door. It's a four-part series, I swear to God, okay? And it will see the Gogglebox star Scarlett Moffat and her family relocate to Namibia with her family. And it's a new Channel 4 show, okay? So the Moffats will live alongside the nomadic Himba tribe for 4 weeks. But don't worry, Chris, they'll still have comforts including hair straighteners, television and iPhones. So the family...
That kind of takes me out of it.
It kind of does, I know.
Yeah.
But the show will see the family find common ground with the Himba, which is a tribe, and it's designed so both cultures can coexist alongside one another and learn from each other's lifestyles.
Hold on, if we're sending a representative of, like, you know, we'll say our way of thinking in Europe to...
From the West.
I don't want it to be her. I'm sorry now, but if we're... our ambassador.
She has described her time in Namibia as one of the most eye-opening experiences of her life. She added, I feel privileged and humbled that the Himba tribe invited us to join them, and we've all learned an enormous amount. I wonder what the Himba tribe have learned.
What did they learn? Yeah, exactly. How are they going to learn anything?
The Himba agreed to host the Moffat so that they could learn more about Western lifestyles, because the chief of the Himba tribe, he said that he was born in the village and that he'd never travelled far, so he didn't know the Western life. And again, I'm like, so you sent the Moffats?
Imagine what a cesspool he must think Western life is if that's who he's...
And no offence.
Imagine what a mess he must think it
no
is.
No offence, you know, to the Moffats, who are a lovely family, but just, you know.
Sure, yeah, no, they are, and all of that. It's no personal attack on them. Well, I suppose
I love
it is,
this as well.
Really, but, yeah.
Channel 4's head of Factor Entertainment. This series contrasts two worlds on a spectacular scale, but at its heart, it's about the extraordinary relationships it creates.
Is it? Is that what it's about? Okay, right. Hey, you know what I will say? Don't knock it till you try it.
Exactly. We'll probably tune in. I'd imagine it's amazing.
Did you see that show that was on RTE1 and they sent Irish travellers to other travelling tribes across the world? It was like travellers with travellers. And I was like, that is a good idea.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It sounds clickbaity. But then I was sitting there and there was this Irish traveller in the middle of like some place in South America and they were doing this weird ceremony on him where they have to cut him loads of times and all that. And he was like, oh, lads, stop. It was genuinely compelling.
Yeah.
I think this might be fun.
Yeah.
You never know.
You know, it could be. It really, really could be. But anyway, there you go. That's where reality TV has taken us now. And like half of me, if I was in this show, I think I'd stay with the Himba tribe.
Yeah, just be like, lads, do you have any vacancies?
I'm like, lads, can I stay?
Yeah. But they'd be like,
Kira, I don't want to go back to the West.
You're really dragging us down, Kira. I mean, you know what I mean? You don't hunt enough. You're not great at fishing. I mean,
I'm like, get off my case. You're not even my real parents.
Yeah, maybe they could adopt you.
Oh, that'd be
great. It's the other way around. The Himba tribe will just adopt Kira.
Maybe there should be a reality TV show where I go out and I try to get random tribes from around the world to adopt me so that I can live off the grid.
Leader of the Himba tribe, I don't mean to bother you. Who is that woman beside you? Oh, this is Kira, this fully grown white woman from Ireland. No, she's just she's hanging out here now. She lives here.
I don't want to go home.
Yeah, she didn't want to go home. She just prefers it here. You know, it's a different pace of life. But anyway, Kira will watch that, and we will watch for when the release date is. Of course, it's very exciting. Charlotte Moffat and the Himba tribe.
Scarlet.
Sorry, yes, yeah, sure. And the Himba tribe in Namibia. Very exciting. I'll tell you something. I'm willing to make some small changes to my life to protect the planet.
Oh, are
I'm not
you?
Doing this.
Oh, finally, Chris.
I'm willing to make some very small adjustments that don't really put me out that much. But let me tell you something.
We were saying earlier on, the world's been talking just about the Amazonian fires this week and worrying about climate change. And we have some good news, as we said at the start of the show, for people who want to save the planet. It looks like cannibalism is back on the menu.
So, as in, what's the thinking behind this? We're going to be able to... Like, because obviously producing meat, producing beef and all this.
So many people now have taken a step away from eating meat and they've gone for the more vegan, I suppose, lifestyle.
Because it has a huge impact on the environment, right?
It does, and on your body and all that sort of stuff. But psychologists say eating members of the same species is natural and we could adapt to human flesh if needed to, Chris.
Oh, cool. Well, that's a cool solution to this. Now, there was me thinking we were all doomed. Now, that sounds great. So we're just going to start boiling each other and eating each other if things get really bad.
Other mammals do eat each other, including bears, lions, chimpanzees. They often cannibalize others. So, we're not that far away from chimpanzees ourselves. So it is doable.
So the solution, psychologists are saying, could be to just get over the whole idea of cannibalism being weird and to start eating each other.
I mean, is it an ethical thing, Chris? I mean, you know, throw it out the window. Let's save the environment. Let's start eating ourselves.
I mean, look, if the person dies of natural causes and they're healthy to eat, then sure, fine. I guess there's nothing inherently wrong with it. You know, if the person...
Serve me up an old dish of Chris there.
Yeah, if I die... But then you see the... Oh, Kira, you walked into that one as well.
Crap.
Kira, you can have a dish of meat anytime.
Oh, my God, I'm bad.
Kira,
today.
You can have a piece of this meat any day of the week. There we go. That was two for it. Yeah, great. How about this?
I'm not as sharp this morning.
You know, like the way you can be an organ donor. Is that what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to say, listen, when I die, if you want, I can be eaten.
Yeah.
In order to continue mankind.
I mean, we're talking about facetiously or whatever. We're not like being deadly serious about it. But this scientist has, it was an article in the Daily Mail 2 days ago, Chris. So this is what we've come to, you know?
And then, like, they give all these other examples of other things
the
that
Daily
eat
Mail
each other.
Like, ran out of ideas on how to troll Meghan and Harry and decided to go, right, okay, what are we doing about the environment? Ah, yes, cannibalism.
Should we consider eating the royal children? If we had to, would Meghan and Harry donate the royal children if we were all going hungry? That's what their next thing will be.
I bet you.
It will be like,
and then it'd be
selfish Meghan and Harry.
Selfish of Meghan and Harry.
They won't let them
donate their child
yeah.
to cannibalism.
That's what it'll be.
Yeah, I know.
We'll suggest that to them. However, I don't think anyone is comfortable with this. I don't even think the most open-minded of people are comfortable with this. And listen, I'll try a weird meat if I'm on holiday or something. I'll be like, ooh, you know, oysters, sure. Do you know what I mean? That sounds like great fun. That's adventurous for me. A human.
Oysters are adventurous for you.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Come on now, a human, you have to draw the line.
Yeah.
Surely. No matter how well it was cooked. Or how beautiful preparation.
A little bit
preparation.
Of ass cheek there, Chris. Cooked medium
rare. Ass cheek's probably...
A little bit of pepper, a little bit of salt.
Ooh, very chewy.
Some peppercorn sauce.
On an ass cheek.
And that just makes everything taste better.
If you battered it, fried it, deep fried it, and then had a lot of sauce, maybe. Maybe I'd consider
You could
it.
Maybe, yeah.
I'd consider eating a person, yes. But like, anyway. Those are my conditions though.
Yeah, sorry. We just want to share that with you. That is genuinely an article that was in the Daily Mail 2 days ago. With the headline, "Is it time to drop the cannibalism taboo? Psychologists say eating members of the same species is natural and we could adapt to human flesh if need be."
This Tinder-style app for North Korea, I think, has huge potential.
Finally, because, you know, we don't know a whole lot about North Korea. We know that people go there and it's in a very controlled environment and you're kind of told what you need to be told, I think, is a fair way to talk about North
Absolutely.
Korea, Chris.
Absolutely, yep.
But Kim Jong-un has now decided that lonely subjects across his country can now find love with North Korea's first ever Tinder-style dating service. So I'm very surprised by this.
So I presume, given this headline, Tinder must be banned.
Yeah.
Or every app on the planet must be banned.
There's a catch.
Sure.
Those wealthy enough to afford a mobile phone can end their loneliness by paying for potential romantic matches to be sent direct to their handsets. So even within that, it's controlled, you know. So the North Korean clients looking for a romantic spark can sign up for this scheme for just £25, Chris, which I imagine is probably an awful lot of money. Again, you have to be kind of rich and be able to afford a smartphone.
So then basically, if I'm living over there, I can just sign up to this. And then I presume, given that it's North Korea and everything goes through a certain level of vetting and quality control,
mm-hmm.
I then imagine a guy looks at potential matches for me and says, "Come here, you'd love this girl now."
Yep.
There you go. And then that's sent to my device
they
and
are
I can
then
meet up.
Sent a set of photos of potential love interests as well as information about their life.
Yeah, this sounds like a service in North Korea, doesn't it?
It does.
This sounds like
this
a dating
this.
Service.
Users
in North
Korea. Of the service can then take their pick and text the dating service to plan a meeting.
Wow, so I'm not even talking to the person.
No.
I'm talking to some middleman.
You're probably talking to Kim Jong-un. Like, let's call a spade a spade. So a source told the Daily NK, I don't know where the source came out of, in North Korea's larger cities, phone-based matchmaking services that set up dates for men and women are appearing and they're gaining a lot of traction among younger people. I'd imagine so. I mean, I can't imagine you can just go out for the night in North Korea and meet the potential love of your life.
Oh, Pyongyang's hopping at 10 p.m. Let me tell you, it's such a spot. The business model involves specialists who maintain databases of men and women.
Again,
God, North
I
Korea.
Feel like it's Kim Jong-un and his homies, you know?
This is you can make anything clinical, can't you? Mm-hmm. A database maintained by specialists.
Yeah, the God specialists almighty. Provide a suitable partner based on each client's preferences. And I'm like, I don't believe that for a second. I believe, again, Kim Jong-un and the boys are like, "Do you know what we'll do? We'll set these people up together."
Yeah, I think so. I think there's probably a healthy dose of
that. Listen to this. To pay for the service, clients must use mobile money, which is a form of virtual currency used in North Korea and can be exchanged for cash. And these phone credits are becoming increasingly popular for wire transfers and payments.
Oh, very interesting. Mm. Okay, then.
So there you go.
But if you want to use it, you have to pay first.
Yeah.
Wow. So you have to pay up front. It's not like it's based on success or anything.
No.
You have to pay up front before you get anything.
After making the payment, you text the matchmaker what you are looking for in a partner. Like, this just feels like the North Korean government are spying even more on the inhabitants of North Korea. And anyway,
preferences can include appearance, fitness, job, family background and assets.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, at least they're being straight up about
That's
this.
That's true, actually.
Yeah. A business arrangement. Well, there you go. Kira, maybe you and I, we'll give it a try. Who knows? We'll find a beautiful North Korean partner. You know?
Mm-hmm. Move to wonderful. North Korea.
That's right. Always wanted to.
I mean, I do want to live off the grid. I've been saying it for a couple of shows now.
You'd be very off the grid there.
So if that Namibian tribe won't take me, maybe I should go to North Korea.
You'd be in your whole other grid in North Korea, believe me. We wouldn't be hearing from you ever again. I don't think you'd be hearing from us ever again.
Hiya, everyone! I'm like, oh no, I've made a huge mistake.
Well, listen, let's see how it goes. I mean, it is interesting that even a place as, we'll say, isolated and remote and technologically, we'll say, oppressed as North Korea now has dating apps. Admittedly, you seem to have to text the government first to ask their permission. But look, who knows? This story is nice. I like it, Kira, because we discussed a story similar to this before. And I have an update for you on the other story, believe it or not. An exciting update.
Whoa.
Listen to this.
Wow.
Instagram holiday debt. I spent £5,000, this lady says. This is from the BBC yesterday. I spent £5,000 for the gram.
You see, I could see this happening. And I can see this happening. But this is a pretty big, significant amount of money to spend to go on a holiday specifically to post photos on Instagram.
The 27-year-old from Australia admits getting into thousands of dollars. She was nearly 10,000 Australian dollars in debt to impress her friends on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
She booked a holiday to America knowing she couldn't afford the trip.
A six-week holiday to Disneyland for the gram.
Yep. Literally. Mm-hmm. That's because this is what people are doing now. Everyone thinks they have some type of brand to maintain or something, and that their Instagram needs to be full of fun stuff.
And that just absolutely floors me. It's like, just be people. You're not a brand. You're not a commodity, you know?
Do you know what I love about this?
But she said that she knew she couldn't afford the trip. She used her credit cards, and she said the fear of missing out made her go, and she wanted to impress her friends on Instagram.
How many do you think she has?
So sad.
Take a guess. Yeah, how many followers do you think she has on Instagram? So she's getting 10,000 into debt to do this Instagram stuff. So you'd think she must have a big following, right? She thinks she must have a few grand minimum on there.
Yeah.
A few thousand.
I'd say like, what, she have 100?
She has 770 followers.
Wow.
So that's who she thinks she needs to impress on
Instagram. Makes me feel really, really sorry for somebody who would get into nearly 10,000 Australian dollars in debt, which is about what, Chris? 6,000 euro?
Yeah, about that.
To try and impress people and to try and be validated by likes. Like that makes me really sad.
Yeah, apparently they've even got a psychologist in on this, and she's saying Instagrammers believe spending will lead to happiness.
I mean, come on, I believe that.
That spending will lead to happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not doing it to impress 700 followers on Instagram.
I'm doing it to impress myself.
Yeah, I'm doing it if I want to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Not because my followers need something on Instagram.
The psychologist, Christine Bagley-Jones, said, it's just like fast food, not very substantial and nutritious, and you've got to keep going back for another hit. But it must be horrendous to have spent that amount of money to go to Disneyland just for Instagram.
Do you remember
so
that couple?
Much wrong with that. And I've been saying this for so long now, that people are going to particular places now not to take in the natural beauty of a place, but to take a picture for their Instagram.
So where we live, I see it all the time.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
People taking pictures of everything. And usually they're the person with them taking 40 pictures for them and then them checking the phone. It's ridiculous. Mm. Do you remember that couple though that we discussed? I'd say this was about 2 or 3 months ago. They put up, their mom pays for their Instagram. Do you remember this couple?
They had some GoFundMe page.
They had a GoFundMe because they wanted to go to Africa. Remember this? And they said, this was in the GoFundMe, they said that their fans needed to see them doing this.
Okay.
Do
so
you
you've
remember
got a,
these
yes,
two?
Yes, they were German.
This is, yes.
You've got an update on the story.
This is how ridiculous I am. God. I bookmarked the GoFundMe
at
the time, and I was like, I'm going to keep checking in on that now, see how they're doing. And then I saw this story today and I said, oh, I wonder how my two favourite Instagrammers are doing that need 10 grand to go to Germany or to go to Africa.
Was it to cycle to Africa or something?
Was to do a tandem bike in Africa.
Yes, okay. Yes. Oh, come on, Chris.
They needed 10 grand.
Yeah. Oh, please don't say.
The GoFundMe has been open since the 8th of June 2019. So what? That's nearly 4 months we're talking.
Yeah.
Because it's all of July, August.
Please say they don't have enough money.
They have 870 euro.
Oh, brilliant.
Out of 10 grand.
It just reminds me that there is brilliant humans out there that would not. Who gave them 879 euro?
I know, right?
What Egypts gave them that amount of money?
They even got 870, which is brilliant. Yeah.
But anyway, delighted.
This was what it said. We want to take you all on a huge adventure and we need you. And it's a celebration of life. Anyway, they got 870 euro out of 10 grand. So that really gave
me a
great sense of satisfaction.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. Thank you, Chris, for that update.
Oh, I was keeping an eye on them.
Very satisfying update, in fairness.
And their mom is probably still paying. It's the guy's mom that pays for it.
Yeah,
this guy and girl.
Bigger fool her too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, listen, GoFundMe isn't paying for it. But anyway, just a quick message from Kieran and I. Don't get into debt to impress your 400
Please
Instagram
don't.
Followers.
It's Please really, don't. It really, you. Really won't be worth it.
Yeah, no one cares. Mm. And but doing it for 700 followers just seems even worse. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get it if you were a huge name on there, but God almighty. Can I just say one thing before we go here? A text just came in. We were talking about that GoFundMe stuff, and I said how stupid it is that people are putting up GoFundMes, as did Kira. We both did, categorically, that it's so stupid that people put GoFundMes up to try and fund their holidays.
Or go and on holidays, get into debt, and then end up in somewhere like Disneyland. And somebody who was listening to the show obviously did not hear us properly.
And they said, why don't you pair organise some funds for badly needed Irish charities instead of encouraging people to spend money on feckin' nonsense?
We certainly did not.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. The person continues to say, so annoying of your generation, internet idiocy.
We said not to spend it on holidays. Are you deaf?
Yeah.
We'll start a GoFundMe for you to get
some. Continue to say most people who go on holidays pay for it themselves, not by crowdfunding. It's just a frickin' scam. We completely and utterly agree with you.
That's what on that we point. Said.
They continue to say, get real. And I just need to take this moment to say, no, you get real. And you listen to myself and Chris when we say that we definitely would not condone setting up a GoFundMe page or spending and getting into debt for $5,000 to go to Disneyland to put photos up on Instagram. That is something that myself and Chris are definitely not pro.
What in the name of Jesus is this person talking about?
I don't know. But anyway, telling us to get real, Chris. Both of us got our backs up when this text message came in. Hi, Chris and Kira. I was listening to your show yesterday and was appalled that you were promoting people to set up a GoFundMe page for holidays. Shame on both of you. And I was like, what? But we went on a rant at the end of the show. Anyway, the message continues. That rant by Chris made myself and my fiancé's day yesterday and broke up the monotony of writing place cards for our wedding. And that's from Owen. Owen, thank you. You nearly angered me, but then you took it back.
Yeah, Owen in Knockline, can I say something? I was reading that text. And until the part where you clarified it was a joke, I was actually saying to Kira, I'm just going home. Like, I'm actually just, I don't care. I'm just driving out of here now, in the, like 10 minutes into the show, and I'm not coming back. So thank God you clarified that. But anyway, good to have you with us this morning, Owen. Kira, this is big news.
Yeah, no, this is something exciting, and I think that we should celebrate it, because Barry Keoghan, obviously the young Dublin Irish actor, but this is an amazing story. You'd know him from...
Love Hate, right?
Is he that... was in Love...
Was he in Love Hate? Or am I wrong? I think, was that his big, like his kind of his breakout thing? I could
be
wrong.
Yeah, he was in Love Hate.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. So, of course, the other films that he was in are completely after going out of my head. Anyway, in 2013, he tweeted, oh God.
Don't worry, I'm getting his Wikipedia page up now. No.
Dunkirk, that was the movie I was trying to think of.
Yeah, he was in Love Jesus. Hate, and then he tweeted Stan Lee in 2013, am I right?
And he said to him, I want to
be. Yeah, I make me a superhero.
So
exactly.
Fast forward to 2019. Wow, God, I'm glad we got as far as this.
Imagine
point
this amazing story, and we have just utterly ruined it.
No, Kira has just utterly ruined it. Chris.
No, we haven't. It's
Can
fine.
We start again?
Okay, hold on.
Okay, let's start again.
Oh, Zara Larsson there with Ruin My Life. This isn't live or anything, is it? It's fine. We can just do this again. Just take this out when we're editing
Chris,
it.
Chris,
yes,
such
Kira.
Great news about Barry Keoghan, isn't it?
What
an amazing young Irish actor.
What
from
about
Dublin.
Barry Keoghan?
Well, Chris, it's an amazing story. You know, he was in Dunkirk.
Yeah.
And he obviously started out in Love Hate.
Sure.
He tweeted.
Stan Lee. Yeah.
In 2013.
Oh, wow.
Asking him to be made a superhero. And now, 2019, guess what? He has joined the Marvel Universe, Chris.
Wow. That's an amazing story. That is really cool though, in fairness.
Yeah, no, I saw the news break last night and I was like, do you know what? Go you, Barry. I love to hear, you know, an Irish person doing so well when they're so passionate and they're so talented, you know, at something.
Sure. No, I hear you. And he's very young. He's only 26 years of age. I mean, he's gone from strength to strength. You might remember him as well. Do you remember, Kira? It was 2009, 2010, I think. We were working in another radio station, and for about 2 weeks, every headline that we used to read on the front page of every newspaper was about Love Hate. He is the cat killer in Love Hate. Remember when they shot the cat? Remember the huge controversy when they shot the cat
him.
In Love Hate? It was him! Now, I don't know. We should probably tell Marvel about this. I mean, I don't know if they're aware of his criminal past. But
No, it's just really, really good news. And he joins the likes of Kit Harington. You might have heard Kit Harington. He's an up-and-coming actor. He was in a small TV show called Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And Rob Stark. Richard Madden, who played Rob Stark. Like, you're not feeling my excitement on this. Every time I bring up Richard Madden around Chris, he just doesn't talk to me about him.
But I think it's like, Kira's like, oh my God. Like, Kira said this to me earlier. Kira, I hope you don't mind me saying something you said to me off air. Kira said, wouldn't it be cool to hang out with them? And I'm like, that's not what Barry Keoghan's excited about. He's an actor who got a big role. That's what he's excited about.
Yeah,
but Kira goes to, wouldn't it be cool if you got that role because you could hang out with them?
With Richard Madden and Kit Harington.
I'm like, I guess that's cool. I'm sure it's not Barry Keoghan's biggest like attraction to the role, but
no, but I'd say it helped.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, he joins Marvel's Eternals and he plays the character Druig, Druig.
Yes.
We had issues with Barry's surname earlier on as well, so I'm just gonna stop talking now.
You know,
but it's great news. And also, you were telling me about this Limerick guy who's going to appear in a new series.
Yeah, so did you watch Daredevil at all on Netflix?
Yes, I did a while back.
Daredevil is incredible, and a Limerick actor called Peter Halpin has gotten a part on the new season, which is coming out in 2019. So this was announced late last year, and like towards the end of 2018.
Because so
the
way this year
it's in pre-production, and then they have to film it and all that. So anyway, coming out this year on the new Daredevil Netflix season, actor from Limerick with a proper role, like not just like an extra, whatever, proper big role in it. And it's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
Peter
no, it's
Halpin
brilliant.
Is the gentleman's name.
Well, there you go. Big yeah. shout out to those lads.
I know, right? It's very cool. Because, though, I mean, let's face it, Netflix. Netflix is doing big things at the moment. Mm-hmm. And to be part of the Daredevil universe or any part of the Marvel universe. Huge. So anyway, big shout out to them. I think we kind of saved that, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah, I think so. Kira's had run-ins with seagulls before. Like, this isn't...
I have a theory about seagulls. And I think that I'm an expert and that I can talk about it because I grew up in a seaside village which happened to have lots of seagulls. And let me tell you something. Connemara seagulls, Chris, they are gentle men and gentle women. Compared to the seagulls that I've come across in the city and on my travels.
No, I tell you, they're a harder breed yeah. in the city. They absolutely
There's
are.
Nothing nicer than being in a seaside village and being woken up by the sounds of waves splashing against the shore and the distant sounds of seagulls, you know what I mean, in sure. the sky.
Sure.
When it's 4:30 in the morning and there's an entire squad of seagulls in a city centre swarming down on fast food that's been thrown out after nightclubs. It's a different story and it's a different sound.
Yeah,
and
of
I don't
course.
Like being woken up at 4:30, 5:15 in the morning. Like every morning, and I'm like, oh my God, everyone's obviously come out of the pubs and the clubs or whatever. But I was also in Brighton recently and all over Brighton, you know, Brighton Pier.
Yeah.
And you know those little beach huts, Chris, you might have seen pictures of
them. Sure, sure,
like
yeah.
That is notorious for seagulls swooping down and stealing children's ice creams and food. And they, like, in every shop you go into in Brighton, there's like a print been like, oh, watch the seagulls and beware of seagulls. And I was like, wow, they're really doing this, you know, whole thing to ham it up for tourism. And then I saw a seagull take a child's ice cream and I was like,
did you actually see that? Okay, I thought that was kind of like a trope. You actually saw a seagull attack a person.
Yeah,
and
now I'm nearly sure it was an ice cream. It could have been like, but I'm pretty sure it was an ice cream.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, this actually does happen. I have now seen it with my own
But they're becoming bigger. They're becoming more aggressive.
They're the size of horses.
They are. They're the size of a griffin. You know those mythological dragon looking things? They're the size of one of those, Kira. They're nearly 8 feet long. That's
you know
right.
What? They need some lessons from their Connemara cousins. That's exactly. No, they need some lessons in manners.
Kira, can I respectfully say one thing here? Because now I'm trying to be Mr. Diplomatic because last week I was like, why do you hate Dublin? I don't. But the reason, right, the seagulls are such difficult individuals in Dublin, right, where we're from, there's food everywhere. Sure, geez, you can fly down and get a fish and in 5 seconds and they're great. Here, they have to eat chips and vomit off your garden in order to eat. So they're in a bad mood all the time, Kira. They don't have the same plentiful access to food that they do where we grew up. They can be a lot more relaxed. They're softer, you know? Because sure, geez, they have a bit of land. They can go, they can get some fish off it if they need. Here, they're like licking up, you know, vomit outside.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. But anyway... This is in the UK. School children will be taught how to avoid being injured by seagulls as the council has launched lessons in the wake of a rise in attacks. That's not okay. Being a little kid is scary enough. Never mind leaving the house and being afraid that a seagull is going to attack you.
Yeah.
But council staff in Scarborough and Whitby, North Yorkshire, are being sent into schools in a bid to improve the relationship between humans and gulls. Like, this is a true story. Children will be shown cardboard cutouts of the birds and told about the dangers of eating in front of them. Students will be warned never to feed them for fear of encouraging their dangerous behaviour.
Hold on, is this real?
Yeah, officials have said they want to help pupils to understand why the birds, which may be on the lookout for food or protecting their chicks, might attack them. So they're reinforcing the message not to feed the seagulls.
Oh, no. I didn't think it had gotten that bad.
Yeah.
But hold on a second now.
I just told you how bad it had gotten.
No,
Chris.
No, come on.
They're
going
me up
into
at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh yeah, that's the biggest problem. Yes, absolutely. That's the biggest
I
problem.
I have a massive issue with seagulls.
No, look.
No, do you know what? More like a love-hate relationship.
Because they're cool sometimes when you see them and they're flying around in the bay or whatever. They look lovely, as long as they're not annoying you. Not in my backyard, right? Do you know what I'm saying? They can live anywhere else. But this is ridiculous. Okay, I don't mean to get all kind of belligerent here or whatever. Kira. As humans,
right? You're belligerent with me.
No. As humans, we're like the...
I can't handle it. I'm stressed enough about the seagulls.
I'm with you on this.
Thank you.
But as like the humans or whatever, we're like the top, right? Like, not to be funny. In the animal world, like the humans, we don't need to be pushed around by seagulls. I'm sorry now, but the time for talk has obviously failed. And there needs to be some type of... I'm not sure if it's a war. I don't want to hurt anyone. But like, we can't be afraid to go outside because of seagulls.
Are you launching a war on seagulls, Chris?
I'm saying...
Is that what you're saying, Chris?
The seagulls need to go home.
Is this what you are saying now on National Radio, Chris, that we need to, you know, wage a war against seagulls. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying Ireland for Irish, you know, everybody, and no seagulls. That's what I'm saying. They need to, any human is allowed to live here, but no seagulls. Even okay. if they're Irish seagulls, they have to go live somewhere else.
Right.
I'm okay. sorry. But only humans. We need to all stick together, no matter where we're from, what nationality we are. This is obviously becoming a bigger thing.
It's us against them, really.
That's
isn't it?
Right. It's us humans, wherever you're from in the world, against the seagulls.
Well, maybe we should do what this council in the UK is doing, because in a bid to understand the scale of the problem, the council has also set up a mugging hotline for victims. So a spokesperson for the council said the school visits were based on a trial earlier in the summer and they hope that they would continue next year, but people can ring the hotline to tell them how they've been mugged off by a seagull.
See, this is the cure. The seagulls, they're just different. They're violent. They don't adhere to our rules. They steal from us. Obviously, they can't
can
be trusted.
This is figures from the council. This again is in the UK. Show the attacks have risen.
See?
Over the recent years. In 2016, there was reported 36 attacks, which escalated to 47 in 2018, Chris. And there have been 23 since January of this year. Again, that's in Scarborough, Whitby, North Yorkshire.
See, this is what happens.
Yep.
They colonise the place and they come in. And they don't integrate. Do you know what I mean, Kieran? They steal from us, these seagulls. This is the problem.
Anyway, there you go.
Yeah. No, this is clearly an issue. And I can't believe that we're at this, that they have to have educational kind of seminars, we'll say, in schools in order to get kids to...
This is a pretty... I'll give you a description of a recent attack of a young person, will I?
Sure.
One teenager was attacked in the town's undercover shopping centre while eating cheese straws, Chris. The bird had flown in through the glass doors in search of a snack. The teen said, "I looked up and saw the seagull about to attack. I lifted my arm to protect my face. It kept going for my cheese straw. I spun 180 degrees. It landed on the floor.
Oh no.
Then it rose up to attack me again. I protected myself with my forearm and eventually it got the hint and left. My glasses fell off in the commotion, but luckily they did not break. Then I realised I was still holding the cheese straw. I had forgotten all about it. Thankfully, the teenager was uninjured but shaken up following the incident."
The poor guy. That reminds me of me.
Chris, I'm cheese sure this strings, is one of glasses. many stories.
Yeah, he'd fallen off. I have a dream that our children will be able to eat cheese strings without seagulls attacking them. You know what I mean? Without them being assaulted like this and their glasses falling off. Which, as someone who used to wear glasses, that makes you feel like a real nerd. When like something hits off you and your glasses fall down, you're like, "Oh, no."
I've been there many times myself.
I hear you. This has really become something else, in fairness.
Yeah, Barack Obama has become an influencer, Chris. I guess he always kind of was an influencer, but now that he isn't president of the United States of America anymore, I think people are kind of more gravitating towards what himself and Michelle are up to and what they're saying and what they're doing.
The time he wore that tan suit. I mean, he's always been an influencer. We've always been following his fashion.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That's true. That is true.
He's a style icon.
Barack Obama just tweeted his summer 2019 playlist. And yes, Old Town Road made the cut, Chris. And a lot of the songs that we play here on 2FM actually made the cut as well. So he put up on his Twitter, "With summer winding down, here's a sampling of what Michelle and I have been listening to. Some new, some old, some fast, some slow. Hope you enjoy."
This is insane.
Yeah, and there's a list of like 40 odd songs, only 50 songs.
Yeah,
I think
he nearly goes up to the full 50, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something.
44 songs. Oh!
From the 40.
Oh my God!
Oh, he's so,
so
slick.
Smart.
He's so slick.
44 songs from the 44th president of the United States of America.
Man, whoever is managing his PR or whatever it is now, I'm like, God, you are slick. Yeah. Very good stuff. Mm-hmm. Very good stuff.
So the playlist included some of the summer's most popular songs. Lil Nas' Old Town Road remix featuring Billy Ray Cyrus, Lizzo's Juice, and Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello's wildly popular Senorita.
Wow. Mm-hmm. He'd be a great director of music on a pop radio station.
Oh,
Jesus,
my God.
Obama. Good yeah. man yourself, Obama. I tell you, you know how to pick the hits.
He had some classics in there as well. Stevie Wonder's Don't You Worry About a Thing. Van Morrison's Brown Eyed Girl. Shout out to Ireland there. And the Rolling Stones' Happy.
He's obviously been to an Irish wedding at some point and was like, "I love Brown Eyed Girl. It's great. Reminds him of happy times." Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Lizzo was very excited. She tweeted this at 10:26 a.m. and 1 hour later, President Barack Obama tweeted about me. So there you go. She tweeted about loving Barack Obama and then he tweeted... Maybe he was smooth though and he put in Lizzo's Juice because he's like, "Oh, Lizzo's tweeting about me."
Yeah, he's like very slick. But you know what's mad? Like, I can imagine like Obama. We all see him as this very powerful, very, you know, iconic figure that literally changed the landscape of politics. Can you imagine him like getting home, kicking off his shoes and being like, "Ah, there we go. Jeez, Michelle, I had a long day, but You know, because I associate this with weddings.
Yeah.
Maybe that's wrong of me. The only thing I associate this with is Irish weddings and being on holidays in some weird place in Spain that plays Irish wedding songs while you're on holiday. Like, I can't imagine Obama sitting there vibing out to this.
I can.
Can you? Yeah, maybe.
Myself and Michelle have a little dance around the house. Yeah.
All right, I'll stop there.
Ah, don't.
No, it's good. You're right. It's good.
Mood Forever, Beyonce, Jay-Z, Childish Gambino. That's sure. Also up there. Too Good, Drake featuring Rihanna, I'll Be Around the Spinners. Burning, Maggie Rogers made it. Fade Out Lines, which you also play here by The Avenir. Juice by Lizzo.
Obama, that's a good one. Good man, Obama.
Doo-wop That Thing, Lauryn Hill. She makes it. I think John Legend also made it onto the list as well. Number 35, All Right.
Sure.
Can I Kick It, A Tribe Called Quest. That's an absolute note of tune, isn't it?
Jeez, Obama's a dude.
Go by the Black Keys, as we said there, Brown Eyed Girl, Van Morrison. It's a Vibe, Two
nice.
Chains.
Very, yeah, he has two chains. I saw he has two chains on there as well. Obama, getting it done.
Yeah, so there you go.
There's a Shawn Mendes track on there as well, isn't there?
See, I think it had something like...
Señorita, was it?
I'm just going to double check on Obama's Twitter now just to see how many times that has been retweeted and that has been... favoured it, because I think he's got a load of followers.
Obama recorded a message for us as well, because he heard we were doing this on the show.
Oh,
so we asked him to say, Obama, would you like say something like, oh, you love the show or whatever. So like he did his best and he said,
if you're listening to Chris and keep right on RTE2FM.
So I don't know what he was doing at the time. I think he was a little distracted, but he did his best. He wanted to send a message to say hello. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, it has been retweeted 85,600 times and it is liked 486,000 times.
Whoa.
So there you go. You're nearly talking 500,000 there.
Wowee.
Yeah. So like, you don't need music record labels anymore, do you? You just need Barack Obama to tweet his summer playlist.
You need Obama to just be an influencer for you and be like, hey guys, shout out, I'm listening to Lizzo.
And I used to be president of the United States, but now I'm big on social media.
Thank you, Obama.
So Chris, we just played a Taylor Swift track there.
I think I'm going to have to keep Kira away from any mention of Taylor Swift because this is just too volatile. I'm actually thinking of, we'll just have to take it out of the show and like not... Taylor Swift doesn't exist.
No, here's the thing. So she released her new album Lover this week,
yes,
which is brilliant, fair play to her. And I know that obviously she has gone through a bit of a hard time in the past when I think it was a guy has literally, Scooter Braun has bought the rights to her music. Do you remember there a couple of weeks back?
Yes. Scooter Braun's a very influential figure within the music industry. I know like he's been responsible for people like Usher, Justin Bieber, and he apparently has quite a reach and quite a lot of money
and
at his disposal.
I feel that the same thing is happening with her song London Boy that kind of happened when Ed Sheeran recorded Galway Girl. Because obviously when you're from certain parts of London and somebody writes a song about it, you want it to be factually correct. Just like when Ed Sheeran wrote Galway Girl, we were like, you met her on Grafton Street, but what was she doing on Grafton Street?
Sure.
Why didn't you meet her down in, you know, Shop Street?
Yeah.
Anyway, aside from all that, and did she really play a fiddle in an Irish band? Sorry, look, that is a question for another day.
And surely she didn't fall in love with an Englishman. Like, you'd hope not. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'd hope not, Kira, wouldn't you? There's all kinds of inconsistencies in this story.
Anyway, Taylor Swift does have a British boyfriend called Joe Alwyn. I think he's an actor. And she wrote a song called London Boy and it's a song for him.
Mm.
And there's a little part of me. And I love that Taylor Swift is very much herself and that she writes songs about love. But she has been dragged through the tabloids because of this pendant to write love songs about past relationships and stuff like that. But anyway, she's done it again with London Boy. So there's a couple of references to different parts of London and people in London are like, oh, really? You like walking Camden Market in the afternoon? Nobody likes walking Camden Market in the afternoon.
It's crowded. You're hitting off people. It, you know, smells of incense. It's weird because it's all very close. It smells of incense and sweat. Yeah.
Another person added, Taylor Swift's London Boy is super nice, but the idea of doing Shoreditch in the afternoon, Brixton in the evening, and then back to Highgate is giving me major London underground anxiety.
She's like one of those overly ambitious tourists.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to hit here, I'm going to hit here, and then I head on to here. She doesn't understand it. It's not authentic.
Somebody else said that London Boy was harmless, but honest, they've heard a lot worse about London, but no one, and I'm sure of this, not one person who has been there enjoys walking Camden Market in the afternoon. You know,
the guy, you know, the guy who tweeted that thing about it's giving him underground anxiety, he plotted on a map all that she'd have to do in order to do it.
So and then somebody else, and I get this, somebody else said, frankly, I'm disappointed that she only ventures south of the river once, you know.
Yeah.
But also Idris Elba, that voice of the Sardis song, that's Idris Elba.
It is.
Who does she think she is?
See,
using
Kira,
Idris Elba's
Kira's
voice.
Very territorial about Idris
I'm
Elba.
I'm very territorial about Idris Elba.
He's
even though he's
boyfriend.
A happily married man.
Yeah.
In my head, he's my boyfriend. But Yeah, so it's like, no, Taylor, no, don't you dare use Idris Elba. James Corden, you can have him, but not Idris Elba. But James Corden and Idris Elba's voices are actually heard in that track.
We can go driving in on my scooter.
Okay.
You know, just around London.
I just that's say that starts. To myself. Like, do every you? Morning I get up, I'm like, all right, Idris.
Kira has, this is her alarm.
We can go driving in on my scooter. You know, just around London.
Oh yeah. That's like my perfect day.
On the scooter.
Driving
around
London on Idris Elba's scooter.
You could hit all the spots Taylor wants to go to, like all of the different locations.
True,
if you had a scooter, it'd be quicker. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Get around there.
But she, also James Corden makes some sort of an appearance as well in it, I think. Anyway.
He probably does.
He does, because I think they're going to all appear in Cats together or something, you know?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see.
We can go driving in on my scooter.
Yes.
Like, I'm not even lying to you. You know when I get all, when Michael Healy races rhododendrons?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the same way I feel about Idris Elba talking about driving around London on a scooter.
Oh, wow.
It just does something to me. I don't know what it is.
Would you rather see the rhododendrons in Killarney National Park, or would you rather go riding around London on a scooter?
Chris, it's like Sophie's Choice.
You can't decide that, can you?
We can go drive.
All right. No, all right. Enough of this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm actually fanning myself here.
About that?
Yeah, about those two.
I suppose also the rhododendrons in Killarney National Park.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes.
Which is a big issue. Yeah. Did they ever fix that, out of curiosity?
Maybe if I could get on Idris Elba's scooter with him, drive down to Killarney
National Park.
Meet Michael Healy Ray saying rhododendron to me copious amounts of time, and then drive back to London with Idris. That would be my perfect day.
But you know how we've been having fun with that clip for a long while? Mm-hmm. Did they ever solve that problem?
I don't know.
Are the rhododendrons still in Killarney National Park?
I don't know, Chris. We'll have to look into it.
I'd like to think we would. Mm. Well, my goodness.
Boom.
If you
mic
enjoyed
drop.
That. Yeah, mic drop. Absolutely. These mics are very expensive.
Yeah, we can't drop them because we've got fired.
Yeah. Comes out of our wages if we do that. Can't be out there. But here, how about this? If you enjoyed this, how about you give it 5 stars, give us a good review on here, all of that kind of stuff. Share it with your friends. We'll be back soon. For myself, Chris, goodbye from Kira.
Goodbye.
Chris and Kira, weekends from 11. I got to